Good morning, everyone. It's a funny thing when you read sometimes through the scriptures the things which jump out and grab you by the throat, even though you've read that portion of scripture time and time again before. But it never ceases to amaze me how the Holy Spirit just grabs you and gives you something new and something exciting to go on with. Because we've got to remember that the Word of God is a living Word. And it's alive. And it's true. The reading that I was led to when I prayed about this morning's message comes from Matthew 18, 15 to 35, which will be on the overhead. If your dear brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. As this servant fell on his knees before him, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So reads God's word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that you'll give me the strength to deliver your word in your power, because we want to hear from you this morning. Let us take hold of what we need to, Lord, and to implement it into our life so that we may grow in our faith and grow closer to you and become more like your Son, who I believe this word is all about. It is the picture of your Son, Jesus. So Lord, just help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I've put a title on this. It's more of a question. Forgiveness, a one-way street? Well, from the passage we've just read, I would say definitely not. It's not a one-way street. There is only one who does it correctly. It's a one-way street, and God does it because He forgives us and He forgets about it. Once He's cleaned the slate, it's clean. Unlike us, at times we can forgive people, but it's hard to clean the slate. You know, and sometimes it's not necessary to clean the slate, because sometimes you've got to remember and get stronger and learn wisdom from the hurt. So don't, I'm not saying that you've got to forget everything, but you've got to forgive the motives. The passage we've just read reinforces the importance of forgiveness. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach him to pray, as you can read in Luke 11:1-4, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" You will notice that if we expect to be forgiven from the Lord's Prayer, then we also need to forgive those who annoy us, upset us, or sin against us. Because that's what sin is. Sin is doing wrong, causing harm. And the biggest harm it can cause at times is to ourselves. So we've got to be careful. There are numerous scriptures about that make this clear. But one that I like is from Mark's Gospel. It's from chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than these.'" So it's clear, is it not? If we as children of God want to be more like His Son, as we are supposed to be, and the loving God that we come and redeemed us, then it's important that we know that commandment. That because God is love, it was from His love that He sent His Son into this world to pay the price so that we could receive forgiveness, His forgiveness, and get back into fellowship with Him. So it is important that we know that He is in control. That's what love's all about. Later on we'll be having communion, and that's what communion's all about. It's the love of God, the price that He paid for us to be made right with Him. But we'll leave that till later. I can't think of any relationship that could survive without forgiveness. We all get upset with our partners, with our kids, our friends from time to time. You know, but if you don't forgive, those relationships would soon break down and you drift away. And that's where it's important. I don't think that it's necessary. I don't think the Bible suggests that it's going to be easy, because it's not. Nothing that's of benefit is ever easy. If you want to get fit, you've got to put in the exercise. If you want to get fit, with God, you've got to put in the exercise, you've got to get into the scriptures, you've got to take time out to be with him. You can't just sit back and expect to get fat on his word if you don't open the book, as it were. So you've got to get involved. You know, given the second commandment, as well as the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, as those forgive us, it's important to note that God is not trying to make things difficult for us. He's not trying to burden us and weigh us down. He's in fact trying to lighten our burdens, because he knows that when we're hurting, if we don't forgive those people that have caused that pain, then all we are doing is we are carrying that pain with us, because that hurt is still there. If we forgive them, we're actually giving that pain back, and it's taking that weight off us. Easier said than done, I know. But that's the purpose that God has for us, to forgive those who trespass against us. It's to enable us to walk away. Because, you know, often when the people hurt us, they may not know they've hurt us. They may have done it unintentionally. And you've still got that anger welling up inside you. And if you don't forgive them, you're still carrying all that pain. And they're walking away. They're oblivious. They don't know they've done anything wrong. And they're as free as a bird, enjoying life. And we're struggling. And that struggling will separate you from God as well. Because whenever you're harboring a grudge, as his word says, forgive those who trespass against you if you want to be forgiven. So it's not just a one-way street, as we say. When Peter asked Jesus, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister? You remember, he suggested 7 times, and Jesus said, no, 77 times. I don't think Jesus actually was talking about 77 times 7. You know, it wasn't a mathematical equation that he was trying to give him. I believe that he was trying to say is, there is no number of times which you can not forgive. If people come back and repent or offend you, you can forgive them as many times. It's for your benefit, don't forget. It's not for their benefit that you're forgiving them. Because you don't need to forget all the time, but you do need to forgive. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, as we've just read, after being given much, what did he do? Did he praise God and think, thank you, Master, that was lovely? No, he went and grabbed poor mate that he had lent a few bob to and tried to persecute him. And the fellow servants, which I'd like to think that we would be the same, if we saw somebody being that vindictive to someone in our fellowship or in our life, that we would stand up for them. They went to the master and they complained. You know, and we can go to the master and complain about things, because we have got the right to come before the throne of grace and prayer because of the forgiveness that we have got from the Lord Jesus himself. On hearing him, the master called him back, didn't he? He says, I cancelled that debt of yours because you begged me to, and yet you had no mercy to show for your fellow who owed you little compared to what I freed you from. And you know, it's true at times. We've got to remember what the Lord has forgiven us for. You know, from the day that we came to the Lord and asked him to come into our hearts, he's forgiven us all the sins, all the wrongs that we've done from the day that we were born. And from when we're born, we're human. We're sin. You know, we're decaying all the way. So we're not incorruptible. We're corruptible people. And even now, we're sitting here and we're losing skin, losing hair, you know. So we are corruptible, and we're all going to end up in dust in this life. But if you are a true son of or daughter of the Lord, we will be raised in glory to be with him. But we need to remember, we need to get it right. We do need to pay attention to what Scripture teaches us, because teaching is important and listening is important, but more important is acting upon it, putting it into action. Because as we all know, before we come to know the Lord, and young Daniel will tell us, he knew it all up here, as we all did, but we didn't have it there. But once the Holy Spirit touches you and you submit to him, then, wow, it all changes. And you don't have to worry yourself too much about a lot of things which happen naturally to us. We're all going to be sinners, Scripture tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And until the day that the Lord calls us to be with him, we will keep on sinning. But that doesn't mean to say we can't and we shouldn't ask for forgiveness. And you know, I was, after reading this or writing this message, I picked up, I wondered what I was doing, and then I picked up the word of for today on Friday morning after I'd sent this off to Rob. So this is why this isn't on the OHP, but forgive me, I'll read it for you, because it really touched me and it confirmed what the Lord was trying to say to me. I'm going to read you the bit of it. When it comes to God's forgiveness, knowing is better than feeling. Here's how God's forgiveness works. Consciousness of sin leads to conviction of sin. And conviction of sin leads to confession of sin, or should do. And confession of sin leads to cleansing of sin. And cleansing of sin leads to confidence before God. You say, I don't feel worthy of God's forgiveness. Well, you never will be worthy of it. God's forgiveness is not based on your worthiness, but on Christ's. Furthermore, God is not like your parents. He doesn't insist you squirm and be miserable for a few days so that you will learn your lesson before he forgives you. That would mean you play a part in earning his forgiveness. It's by grace and grace alone. Grace means undeserved favor. So when God forgives you, honor him by forgiving yourself and forgiving others and moving on with him. And I just thought I'd share that with you. I thought it was very better than what I'd written. So I thought it was worth putting in. But Jesus made it quite clear in verse 35 of the passage we read this morning. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The same way as the master treated that evil servant. If we look at Luke 6:37, we get a warning about judging others. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Now it couldn't be clearer, could it? To receive forgiveness, you've got to offer forgiveness. In Acts 2:38, Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as I have already said, we're forgiven every sin that we've committed from the day that we were born. Then you were accepted into God's family. And as promised, we were sent an indweller, a helper, the Holy Spirit, to be our guide, our witness, and to be our conscience. And how many times, I know there's, I can say, many times I have been sitting watching something and I felt uneasy about it. Not because I'm super duper brilliant, but because the Holy Spirit was being grieved by what I was watching. And I got two choices then, either turn it off or leave the room and let other people who are doing it. And it depends on if it's something that somebody else is enjoying and interested in, I'll leave the room. They'll maybe ask me why and then I'll tell them. You know, but I try not to preach too much because that can put people off quite a lot. But we've got to be forgiving in lots of ways. The only way it's possible for you to receive forgiveness, as we can read again in Hebrews, and I've quoted a lot of scriptures because you don't want to hear what Jerry Kelly's got to say about forgiveness, you want to hear what the Word's got to say about it. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And that's what the Lord, we're going to be celebrating shortly around the table. In Matthew 26:28, we read, this is Jesus speaking, "This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." You know, without Jesus' willingness to go to that cross for you and me, the chance of forgiveness, as John told us last week, there's 6,013, I believe, laws in the... 613. Oh, I just put an extra... just bump it up a little bit. But even 613, it's an awful lot of laws. How many laws have we got in this country? Anybody know? I don't know. Do you know them all? Do you keep them all? Could a policeman walk up and arrest you for something that you totally don't know anything about? Because you'd be guilty, because no excuse in the eyes of the law. Isn't that right? And that big ex-policeman up there, he'll tell you that. You know, if you're doing something, then you say, well, I didn't realize it was wrong. There is no excuse in the eyes of the law if you're breaking the law. You know, so we could not have had forgiveness without Jesus going and paying the price for our sins on that cross. And that is very, very humbling. And if you can't humble yourself enough to forgive someone for some triviality that they have done to you, having considered what it cost Jesus to forgive us, to bring us back into a fellowship with his Father and a place for us in heaven, then, well, I'll leave that between you and the Lord to answer that one. That's why I think it's important that we realize that it's beneficial for us to practice forgiveness if we are to enjoy all the blessings, the peace, and it's a perfect peace, isn't it? You know, when times when you're really in trouble, you get down on your knees and you go, just get into fellowship with the Lord through prayer. Things pale into insignificance and he shows you a way through. But you can only do that when you're in a right place. And to be in a right place, you've got to free yourself from everything that's troubling you and forgive all the hurt and anger that you might have stored up against someone. Because when we come around the table, we're told, if you've got a problem with anyone, go and make peace with them before you partake of the bread or the wine. Because that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be in harmony, one with each other. We're a fellowship. We're brothers and sisters. We're part of his body. And when part of the body is hurting, the whole body suffers. So that's why it's important to be able to come alongside, support people. People will upset you. I'll upset you. from time to time, probably. A lot of times, not knowingly, but I'll probably upset people. But, you know, I ask, if I upset you, forgive me. Because, or tell me. And then I'll ask you for forgiveness. But I'm open to criticism. I think we all should be. But we shouldn't be afraid to talk. But do it in a loving way, not in a challenging way or a trying to knock someone down sort of a way. I digressed a little bit, but here we go. After all, it doesn't cost as much. It doesn't cost us as much to forgive, as I said. We don't even have to do it in our own strength, because He's provided the Holy Spirit who dwells within each one of us to give us that strength when we need it. If we just ask Him to help us, He will help us. And He's on call 24/7. Yeah, He never sleeps or slumbers. We do. Well, sometimes. Tossed a bit last night, it was a wee bit warm, but, you know. But He never sleeps or slumbers. We do. So, all I would say is, listen to the Holy Spirit. Be guided by Him. And holding grudges only hurts one. That's a one-way street. Not forgiving someone is a one-way street. But forgiveness is a two-way street, and it's beneficial to both the giver and the receiver. And I've got a passage of scripture. We start with scripture, so I'm going to close with scripture before Rob comes down and brings us around the table. It's from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your life, since as a member of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwelling among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we know that we are sinful people, and without You, we are totally lost. So Lord, we just ask for Your forgiveness for all the times that we fall short. Lord, we just pray that You will continue by the power of Your Holy Spirit to give us the strength to come before You and to confess our failings, and give us the strength to get back up and to keep putting one foot in front of the other, because each time we stand still, we are backsliding. So Lord, help us, I pray, to keep moving forward with You, to grow stronger, to be more loving towards each other, and to always remember to forgive and make our burden lighter, to take on Jesus' yoke, which He tells us is light. And Lord, that's what You want for each one of us. You want us to be like Your Son. So Lord, I just pray that You'll bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.